So in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8, it's telling them about establishing the Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
How are you? Just before I start, I want to just last month we did an offering for Buckets of Love. If you remember, it was in April.
Yeah.
We actually received £165 in that offering. Got to just let you know that. £165. This afternoon I want to share something about Jubilee. We've recently sung a chorus. We sing a chorus sometimes and it says, "This is the year of Jubilee."
Yeah.
And you may or may not know what that means. Sometimes we sing things and we don't always get hold of what it's about. Mm. But I want to just read a passage out of Leviticus. When the children of Israel, and when I say the children of Israel, that's the descendants of Jacob, who was renamed Israel, and Jacob was the grandson of Abraham. So when the children of Israel were getting all the things that to do from God about how they should behave and what things they should remember, one of the things that were established was the year of Jubilee. So in Leviticus, it's just telling us about... Now, Jubilee is a 50-year anniversary. So in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8, it's telling them about establishing this year of Jubilee. And it says, "You are also to count off 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself. 7 times 7 years." So that's 49 years. 7 times 7 years. 49 years. "You shall then sound a ram's horn abroad on the 10th day of the 7th month on the Day of Atonement. You shall sound a horn all through your land. You shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family. You shall have the 50th year as a jubilee. You shall not sow nor reap its aftergrowth, nor gather in from its untrimmed vines. For it is a jubilee, it shall be holy to you, you shall eat its crops out of the field." So that's starting with a multiple of 7. It starts on 7. Now, if you go back, or you just think for a minute, we live a 7-day week.
Yeah.
I just ask you the question, why? Why not 10? Why not 5? Why 7? Well, because God established the number of days in the week. If you go back to creation, back into Genesis, the beginning of Genesis, it tells you God created the heavens and the earth, and he created it in 6 days and he rested on the 7th. Now, there's all sorts of conjecture about the term day in that. And we were just looking it up as I was studying for this. And the definition of the day that it's using is the period of light which is not darkness. It doesn't say 12 hours, it doesn't say 24 hours, it doesn't say anything like that. It's a period of light which is not darkness. So you can argue about what the length of the day was. But God said very specifically that he was creating things over a period of 6 days, and then on the seventh he was to rest. Now if you look through the rules and regulations that they had, the seventh was important times for resting. The seventh day of the week, the seventh year of the cycle of years, and the 50th, which was the 7 times 7, you get to 49, and the 50th is the Jubilee. Now the Jubilee year was a really, really important year, and we'll come to that in a bit. But the thing about the Jubilee was, I don't think it was ever kept. It was never actually implemented in the Old Testament days. The children of Israel never got to that stage, because there was a lot of things in that Jubilee that the human nature couldn't ascribe to, couldn't reach. Because the Jubilee year, it was a time of liberty, a time of release, a time of restoration, and a time of rejoicing. And there's a whole realm of things that needed to be done that they just wouldn't do. And because they wouldn't do it, they caused themselves a lot of trouble, a lot of problems. Part of the Jubilee was that slaves were to be set free, debts cancelled, and the land to lie fallow. Now you're thinking of cancelling debts. I mean, in this day and age, we talk about cancelling third world debt. And the countries of the world, the economies of the world, they struggle with that. Yeah. But we go back to this resting on the seventh. And the culture today, we've lost it. Yeah. We've lost the resting of the seventh. Now we say, oh well, it's all the religious notions that say rest on the seventh. But when you look at the Word of God, it's not talking about being religious to rest on the seventh. Because Jesus made it very plain that it wasn't for the religious side of things that he said to rest on the seventh. It was for our benefit. It was for our benefit to rest on the seventh, whether it's the seventh day, the seventh year, or whatever. It tells you about leaving the land fallow in the seventh year. Give it chance to recover. I seem to remember from my school days, when they were talking about farming, they used to talk about a three crop cycle, and then they left it fallow for a year. So they were on a 4 year sort of cycle. But in the modern method of farming now, they don't even do that. The land does not really have a rest, because they like use a clever crop, if you like, to try and rejuvenate the land that still pays, rather than letting the land rest. Just look, I looked up that word fallow as well, and in the dictionary it says a heavy frame with iron teeth dragged over ploughed land to break up clods. So the fallow year, they break up the ground and then they leave it. They don't plant anything. That's leaving the land fallow. And you'll find very few fields these days are left fallow. They'd even try and shove two crops in a year these days. But these are God-based principles of resting. We're in a culture now where the shops open on a Sunday, and as if there's more people to spend more money over 7 days than there is over six. Yeah. Because that isn't the case. I mean, it's the sort of probably greed that generates it, but the market is limited anyway. They say, oh well, it's more convenient for people that are working 6 days to go and do the shopping on the seventh. But they did manage before. It's just that now we've gone on to the new dictionary definition of life, 24/7. Comes from America, but we know what it means now. We live 24/7. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Everything's going off. No time to rest. Nobody rests because we're caught up in the culture of what this 7-day, 24-hour day cycle's all about. We think it's getting the most out of life. But that's not what God was saying. If we look in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, there's something specific concerning the seventh day. And it's not just that God rested. He said something else about the seventh day as well. In verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2 of Genesis, it says, "And by the seventh day God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done." It says, "Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." Now he's not unblessed it, and he's not unsanctified it. But we've tended to take it into the realm of the rest of the week. We've downgraded it. Now I said this again is not saying some religious thing. We'll see a bit later that God is saying this for our benefit, because we're in command of the Sunday, not the Sunday in command of us. Amen. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they went into the desert and they're finding their way to the promised land. One of the things that God did was provide them food. You've heard that he provided manna. And he did a very special thing concerning the manna and concerning the Sabbath day. If we turn to Exodus chapter 16, verses 22. So he's providing the manna. So they collected it every morning. And they collected what they needed for that day. And verse 22 of chapter 16 says, "Now it came about on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for each one, when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, 'This is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning.'" Now that was quite a struggle for them, because they'd already in the week tried to collect more and keep it through. And what happened, that was keeping them away. What happened was that it rotted. After that day, it rotted and they couldn't use it. Now God's telling them, "But collect it before the Sabbath day and it'll be alright the following day." Now something says, that's a bit strange, a bit weird that. Because if you go back, God blessed the Sabbath. He blessed that seventh day, especially. So there was something about that extra day. So that blessing is already coming into play then. It's already happening that God's blessing that seventh day. If you stay in Genesis and go into chapter 20, verse 8. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but on the seventh it is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Now you say, oh, well, you know, you're old-fashioned thinking that Sunday, that the Sabbath day is a special day. Well, no, not really, because God's word is timeless. We have disregarded what God's saying, some of the things that God's saying for our benefit. And yeah, I'm well aware that there are work that has to be done on the Sabbath. Nurses, police, ambulances, fire brigades, or whatever else. A lot of things, care homes, they have to work on the Sabbath. There are things that have to be done. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knows that. And we'll come to what Jesus said about it all in a minute. The problem is that we're caught up in a culture that thinks certain ways. And we don't think, because it can be a convenience to us to go shopping on a Sunday or whatever else, and we think no more about it. I know when I was a kid, it was frowned on to spend on a Sunday. Now, I don't really know whether they were sure why they did that. I'm not sure whether they knew the reasoning behind it. Because there's this religious side of us, you know, that keeps the law. Oh, you know, we've got to do it this way because that's what it says. We don't understand why, but that's it. Because that's a whole wrong realm of reasoning. We need to understand. We need if something is set for our benefit, we need to understand about it, why it's there, and whether we need to take notice of it or not. The one of the things about this particular thing, and we're talking about Jubilee, and that will come out as we go on, that some of the things that were set for the children of Israel established were like a model of the reality that was going to come later on. It gives them a bit of an understanding of principles of things. So they had a lot of rules and regulations to keep and maintain. I mean, you look in the business about going into the Holy of Holies. We've been through that before, that can go into the outer church, that can go into the inner church if they're really good. But the Holy of Holies was for the high priest only. But Jesus changed that. But he established the understanding of it back in the days with the children of Israel. He taught them about the tabernacle and how it was to be laid out. If he hadn't done that, we wouldn't have understood what it meant when he said the curtains were rent in two when Jesus died. We wouldn't have understood it. We wouldn't have known what it meant. But Jesus said some important things to change the scheme of things. Let me just turn to Mark chapter 2. Verse 27. Very important this, that we understand this and what it means. And this is Jesus talking, and he was saying to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Because Jesus was prepared to heal on the Sabbath. Jesus told them, he said, if your donkey fell in a pit, or you know something important to you, I've got donkeys down there. If it fell into a pit, you'd go and help it out. You know, if a friend of yours fell, you'd go and pick them up. You won't say, oh no, I can't do it. I'm religious today. It's a special day. This is what Jesus is saying. It's important that we know that we're in charge of the Sabbath, not Sabbath in charge of us. And it's there for our benefit. We know about Sunday because we come to church on a Sunday. You know, it's a day set aside that we come to church. But do we really understand what the importance of it is to our lives? We know that sometimes we can get to the point where people work every day of the week. They become workaholics, and Sunday becomes a work day just like any other, and they're in this cycle. And sooner or later it tells on the health. They might have got plenty of wealth, but it tells on the health. But if you turn to Luke chapter 13, and we're coming back into the Jubilee now. There's a special thing about the Jubilee year that the children of Israel couldn't get round. Because Jubilee, the Jubilee year, is a time of release. If they don't sleep at night, they're going to sleep some other time. So, Jubilee year is a special year, and it's a year of release. People was that they got things restored to them. Slaves were set free. There was a whole realm of release taking place. So if you bought some land off somebody and that, it was restored to them on that 50th year. A lot of things like that were happening on the year of Jubilee. Debts were being cancelled. You see how the human nature found it difficult to get hold of that. That's why they never really got hold of actually doing it. Because they couldn't reach up to that level. But I don't think Jesus really expected them to. Because Jesus was coming to bring in the real year of Jubilee.
Amen.
He was coming in to do this. Because
yeah.
The Jubilee year could never happen under the law. Because
no,
the law contradicted itself. The law wasn't merciful. The law, the year of Jubilee demanded mercy, it demanded forgiveness, it demanded a setting free. And the law couldn't do that. If you turn to Luke chapter 13, verse 14 to 16. Is that Luke? Luke chapter 13, 14 to 16. It says, "And the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the multitude in response." See, this is a religious guy who knows all the rules and regulations, but doesn't know the heart behind what it's all about. "Because Jesus has healed on the Sabbath," the synagogue official got indignant about it. He says, "There are 6 days in which to work should be, which work should be done. Therefore, come along during them and get healed, not on the Sabbath day." Now, we've had religious guys talking from the pulpit and saying that over the years in the churches, and they've put people in straight jackets. Saying, "You must not do this, you must not do that on a Sunday."
Yeah.
And to some extent, I was brought up a bit in that environment.
Yeah.
Because it was still going, you know, you don't spend money. I can remember wanting an ice cream on a Sunday. "Oh no, you can't, it's Sunday. You can't have an ice cream, it's Sunday." Well, yeah, all right, for a child, you don't understand. You just told no because it's Sunday, so it sets in your mind, you can't do certain thing on a Sunday. But it didn't give me an understanding of any reason why.
No.
Just meant they were spoiled sports. Where were we? Verse 15, it says, "But the Lord answered him and said, 'You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day?'" You see, and as he was saying, this, his opponents were being humiliated, and the entire multitude was rejoicing over the glorious things being done by him. What's Jesus saying there? He says, the Sabbath is a day for release.
Yeah.
It's a time for releasing and setting free. We're getting a taste of the Jubilee. Because this woman had been in bondage. Been in bondage to Satan through sickness for years. And Jesus comes along and he sets her free.
Yeah.
He brings her into a Jubilee year. He lifts her out of where she was at. And he sets her free.
Yeah.
You turn back to Luke chapter 4. Quite a well-known passage. Where Jesus is in the church of the day. He's been asked to come and read. You know, somebody calls you out and asks you to read something from, well, it wouldn't be the New Testament, then it'd be the Jewish Bible. And he picks a passage out of Isaiah. And he starts to read it. This is Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And this is Jesus saying, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who have trodden down, to proclaim the favourable year of the Lord."
Amen.
What is the favourable year of the Lord? It's the year of Jubilee.
Yeah.
And Jesus has come to proclaim the year of Jubilee. And he says he's come to release the captive, like that woman that was sick, like those that are locked in things, in drugs and heartache and pain.
Yeah.
He's come to release them.
Amen.
To set them free. We're in the year of Jubilee.
Praise God.
We're living in the year of Jubilee.
Amen.
That's what the chorus said. We're in the year of Jubilee. Mm. That comes from Isaiah 61. If you want to look back at the original, and it comes in there word for word.
Mm.
Jesus has come to establish Jubilee year for us, for our lives. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Says, "Then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household."
Yeah.
We're brought into his household, we're brought into his family.
Yeah.
We're part of the family of God.
Yeah.
We're not strangers, we're not foreigners. And the year of Jubilee applies to us, every single one of us.
Yeah.
Every problem, every detail of our life, Jesus has brought us into that year of Jubilee to set us free. To set us free from every single thing that's going to set out to destroy us. Because
yeah.
The one thing about Jubilee, it's not only release, it's restoration.
Praise God.
Bish has always been strong on restoration. Yeah. One of the things that we do with the orphanage is restoration. Of lost blessings.
Yeah.
Restoration of God's blessings on our lives.
Yeah.
In Colossians chapter 2, and I brought this not so long ago as well, something else I shared. But Colossians chapter 2, verses 14. It says, "Having cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. We're in the year of Jubilee again. He's cancelled out the debts.
Amen.
And which were hostile to us. He has taken them out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, having triumphed over them through him. Jesus poured out his power unto us in the year of Jubilee. Whitsuntide is 50 days after Passover. Right, he was crucified at Passover because they took him down for the cross because of the feast of the Passover, and they couldn't have him hanging on the cross on the holy day. That's the religious side again. But 50 days after that, Jesus, God poured out his power onto his people. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. That was 50 days. We call it Whit Sunday. And what has man done? He's renamed it Springbank and moved it to a fixed time. So it's no longer 50 days after Easter, after Pentecost, after Passover. But man can't change the reality of it.
No.
Because God's put it in place.
Amen.
And like everything else he's putting into place for us, he's putting it in for our benefit.
Yes.
Everything he's doing is for us. Mm. We started off on the resting on the seventh. Why do you think he did that? Why do you think God did that? He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows that things will make us work 7 days a week. The situations will make us 7 days a week. And he knows that it's not good for us. Oh, we can manage over a period. Because God sees the long term as well. He knows what's good for us. He knows what we need. It's no coincidence that they're both 50 days, 50 years, 50 days. The 50 is significant because he's pouring out the Jubilee experience.
Yeah.
The Jubilee that the nation of Israel couldn't aspire to. Jesus has brought it in.
Yeah.
And he's brought it in for release. To release the captives. Release the captives that are locked into drink and drugs. Release them.
Yeah.
From the prisons that they're in.
Yeah.
Releasing us from emotional prisons that we're in.
Yeah.
God's poured in to us that he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And he showed the nation of Israel. He gave them understanding of the principles. Like he did on a lot of other things. He gave them the layout of the principle. And like Andrew shared a long time ago about shadows. There were shadows put in place of the reality that was going to come.
Yeah.
So here we've got Jesus now coming, the year of Jubilee, and he throws a shadow down history. Back to when the children of Israel were given the details of how it worked and the principles behind it.
Yeah.
But we've let go in this day and age of the importance of these things.
Yeah.
And it's not for a religious sake that they're there.
Yeah.
It's to help us to live. It's to help us to really live. We think we're living if we're doing this, that and the other, and it includes Sunday and every other day, and I say the 24/7. It's quite a catchy logo, that now. You think if you quote 24/7, you're in there, you've got the terminology and you're going with it. But it's not God's principle.
No.
God knows that the world doesn't stop on the Sabbath, and Jesus brings some common sense to the situation. He says, don't go all religious on me. Don't start saying, oh, you can't have ice cream and this. Get some understanding of why and what it's all about. And then you can come and worship me on a Sunday and enjoy it. And enjoy your Sabbath day. But don't make it a common day like the rest. Because he says, I've blessed it and I've blessed it special for you. I've put a special blessing on that day for you and for your benefit, that it will improve you and your life if you honour that day. Now, I'm not saying how you should honour it or how I should honour it. But what I'm saying is that there's keys within the Word of God and what Jesus said as to how we need to look at the Sabbath day. Because I'm guilty of watering it down, and because shops are open, things are happening on the Sundays. And in fact, most events now happen on a Sunday. And they're all bad events, you know, I mean, I'm not saying, you know. But we have to look at what Jesus wants from us in our lifestyle, which includes the Sabbath day. We're busy people in various ways. We're doing this, that and the other. We're doing things more now. We can travel better, we can move better, we're situated better, we're more comfortable in how we live than they were years ago, even to what they are in other countries now. So we've got a lot of easy paths, easy ways. But God set in, and he showed it through the land. The land would benefit on that cycle. More so than it does now. I don't know how Edwin does it. Do you have any sort of fallow year or fallow area, or do you plant each year? You like you alter your cycle each year. Yeah. But I mean, one of the things that happened on the sabbatical year, when they left the land fallow, they left the land open for anybody to come and get whatever happened to grow wild there. So the poor could come and get their food from the land that year. It was a generosity year. But it meant the land rested, the people rested, and God provided. So we've lost some principles, but we've not lost them entirely, because it's still in the Word of God, and the Jubilee year is where it's linked in, because God's brought us. Jesus has established the Jubilee year. He says, I've come in to bring in the year of release for you.
Yeah.
I've come to bring it in. And he says, I've come to bring something for you as well, or someone for you. I've brought the Holy Spirit for you to be part of that release and that freedom that's going to come. No longer slaves, no longer in debt, but set free from sin, the debt of sin. So we've got a life, we've got a real life. But we can honour God then. We can come back and we can honour God and establish back to God's principles. If you'd have told me last week I was going to talk about Sunday and honouring Sunday, I'd have said, oh, you're daft. Because my concept is that, yeah, Sunday's changed. But it's only when you start looking at it and think, why has it changed? And it's man that's changed it. God's not changed his idea of it and how it should be. But he's very candid in telling us about us not being religious over it, but getting the reality of the benefit out of it for us. Because that's a whole realm. When God created the heavens and the earth, it says he rested on the seventh day. I thought, God don't get tired, does he? No, he doesn't. But he decided to rest on that seventh day, so there must have been something of benefit for that seventh day, and to make it holy, to make it, to bless it specially, and for him not to remove that blessing, special blessing for that seventh day, it must have a special value for us, for our health and well-being, both physically and spiritually. That day of rest must have a special importance to us. So I thought it's really putting the ball into your court for you to think about the whole realm of what God's saying about what you should do on the Sabbath, how you should rest. See, the trouble is when you use the term Sabbath, you suddenly feel religious. It's one of these terminologies that suddenly you click. I'm religious when I use that word. But I think you know what I mean. That it's just looking at how we live in our lifestyle and not necessarily following the trend of seven-day living at the same rate. God says we need to put the brakes on that day and enjoy God. Enjoy God because he's blessed it special on that day.
Amen.
Amen.